You're listening to the LCJ Q&A. As always, I'm your host, Lights, Camera, Jackson. Well, Cars 3 is racing onto digital HD October 24 and DVD and Blu-ray on November 7. Joining me right now from Charlotte is director Brian Fee. Brian, how you doing in Charlotte?
I'm great, thank you.
You are welcome. You're helping out with this new Cars exhibit at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. That's really cool.
It's phenomenal. I mean, I walk through the doors and it's so big, you know, and it's the first thing you see when you walk through the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's a gateway. The NASCAR folks were telling us how the first thing kids, when they walk in, is they'll see these characters, they'll see these car characters. And they're highlighting the characters based on real people throughout the, you know, NASCAR history. And then as they go into the museum, then they can learn about the actual people behind it. So it's pretty cool.
That is very cool. Are you more at ease now promoting the movie being on DVD as opposed to promoting it when it was going to open in theaters in June, kind of on the edge of your seat at that point?
I don't know. Nothing's really changed. You know, everything's, you know, I love talking about the film. I love any opportunity I get to talk to. People ask me, like, what it's like doing all the promotion, because it seems like it's a lot of work, but it's, I think it's like asking somebody if they have a, if they want to show any pictures of their children. It's like, well, how much time do you got? Because I will talk your ear off if you have the time.
Boy, that teaser trailer that came out last fall, so dramatic. It blew people away when I watched it in theaters. Other people were just, wow. What was your approach behind that dramatic teaser trailer?
Okay, there's a two-sided answer to this. And they're both completely true. Hey, we really wanted to let people know that this movie is probably going to be a little different than they expected. We have a dramatic story to tell, and we're kind of putting McQueen in some dramatic corners. And so we kind of wanted right away to let people know a little taste of what's in store. And the second side of it is we had to make a trailer, and we didn't have very many shots done because we were so busy trying to finish the story of the film that very little animation had been done at the time, and we had those shots done. So it just kind of worked out for us.
Yeah, and Lightning McQueen, it's kind of the aging athlete theme for him here with Cars 3. What other sports movies did you use as inspiration for this story?
We watched a little of everything. You know, we watched, you know, Secretariat. We watched the Rocky movies. You know, Karate Kid, believe it or not. And then we watched mentorship movies, you know, like Color of Money. Kind of anything we could get our hands on where it's relationships and mentorship and, I don't know, any and everything. You know, you never know you never know what's going to help or hurt, so early on, you kind of watch a lot of stuff. And I think, though, the real kind of impact that I have is I just have movies stuck in my head from when I was a kid. You know, like I love Blade Runner. You know, of course, Indiana Jones and Star Wars. And but the seriousness of Blade Runner, you know, it's that cool science fiction mixed with some kind of heavy storytelling. You know, My Neighbor Totoro is one of my favorite animated films, you know, that's so delicate, you know, and there's so much atmosphere. Like, I have to say, those are probably, even though they don't seem like it, those are probably the stuff that kind of helps inform my taste.
And you mentioned the mentorship. Doc Hudson, back in Cars 3, you used original recordings of the late Paul Newman. Was that an emotional experience, listening to those recordings and trying to figure out which ones to use for Cars 3?
Yeah, it was incredibly haunting. We knew early on we wanted the relationship McQueen had with Doc to be highlighted, and we wanted scenes of them together, and we were going to have flashbacks. But, you know, the first thing we did was we just kind of write whatever we want, and we even went down we had to try a sound alike, and it didn't work. The scenes, there is no replacement for Paul Newman, I think, is what we learned. And then we were so fortunate that when John Lasseter was recording Paul for the first film, he just kept the tape rolling and hours of them just trying lines and telling stories, and Paul talking about racing, and we had hours and hours of stuff to sift through. We were very, very fortunate to find exactly what we needed, because the first time we dropped Paul Newman in our story reels in the editing room and just listened to his voice, it was, for all of us, it kind of gave us chills. You know, it was just, everything was right about it.
Wow. And I thought Chris Cooper was a great choice for Stanley, a new character here. Both Cooper and that character really do have some parallels to Paul Newman and Doc Hudson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they were good friends. And he would tell us all kinds of stories. He even tried, I guess Paul Newman had a way of saying, hey. And so he kept saying, is a note to Paul, can I put that in there every now and then? Yeah, it was up for trying anything in the edit room. And so he really wanted to get that in there. We didn't actually end up using it, just because to him and Paul, it made sense. But to us that are not in on the it just always sounded a little odd. So we didn't actually end up using it. But yeah, there was a personal, a personal touch there.
Mm. Now, my name is Jackson, and I was so excited when I first heard that you guys were bringing in a main new character named Jackson Storm. Why did you decide on Jackson Storm as the name?
Well, could we liked you and your name so much.
Thank you.
we came up with the name Storm first, and then, we just started trying out, a long list of other names. What sounds good with Storm? What sounds, youthful enough to play that character, but, not too youthful. And, it just, John Lasseter also happens to have a son named Jackson, but that is a complete coincidence, I promise you. It just sounded right.
Cool. I like it. And I also like the genuine relationship between Lightning McQueen and his new trainer, Cruz Ramirez. I'm so glad it didn't have to go in a romantic direction. They can just be great friends.
Thank you. You know what? That, when you pitch the movie, before we did anything, and you pitch that idea to people, I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody, the red flag was, well, is it going to be weird? Is it going to look like should they have a romance? How's Sally feel? It's just like, and honestly, I just stood behind the idea of that shouldn't be a thing. Mm. And if you don't make it a thing, it won't be a thing. And so I'm very pleased that anytime somebody actually sees the movie, they never, ever bring that up.
Well, yeah, it impressed me throughout, because there's some great dramatic scenes between the two of them, especially later on, and yeah, a very nice relationship. Now, I want to ask you about the final scene. I don't want to give anything away, obviously, but there's a big visual reveal in the final scene. Was that a big risk for all of you at Pixar to include that in the final scene?
Not for me. I was super excited about that. There were even versions of the film where we were doing that much earlier. I live for things like that. I live for risks. I love surprises. I think storytelling is, if I know exactly how a movie's going to go, I know how it's going to end, and I know how they're going to do it, I'm bored. And there are some movies where you kind of can predict where it might go, but you don't know how they're going to do it, so it's still interesting. I want surprises. I live for those things.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely was a big surprise. I was pleased with it. And on the DVD pack, there are 5 deleted scenes. Can you give me a couple of hints as far as some of the elements for the deleted scenes?
Yeah, most of them are early versions of scenes that really are still in the film, but, we were just not quite there yet with who characters are. A lot of Cruz is in some of those scenes, and she's just less figured out, I guess, compared to where we landed. And so, there's some, we like to air our dirty laundry a little bit, and people can kind of see, how we make these things, because those deleted scenes just give you a good look at what our reels look like when we're just working on just the story, right? And we storyboard it, we edit it, we throw some music on it, we sometimes we get the real actors, sometimes it's just us doing the voices, and that's kind of our proving ground for the story we're making. So it's fun to include the you know, the Stranger Things and some of our Dirty Laundry.
One last question. Well, I got to bring this up. I'm good friends with Larry the Cable Guy. I met up with him just before Cars 2 was being released, and he's such a nice guy, and he just has to be a blast to work with.
Yes. Larry is great. You got to, when you work with Larry, you know, have some extra time on the schedule and don't be married to your lines, because you've got to give him room, because he will come up with something way better than what you wrote. So, you know, that's what's fun about it.
Fantastic. Well, check out Cars 3 on digital HD, October 24, DVD and Blu-ray, November 7. Brian, congratulations. One of the best animated films of the year so far.
Thank you.
You are welcome. All right, I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson for the LCJ Q&A.